And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
Good evening, and welcome to episode 5 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me, once again, my co-host on, across many shows, Chris Damasceno. Chris, how are you today?
Hi, good. Nice to be here for episode 5. They still haven't stopped us from doing this. Let's keep going.
And we actually brought somebody along for the ride. One of our old friends from the neighborhood has decided to stop into our new digs. Please welcome back in our good graces, first time on this show, Lawrence O'Brien. Lawrence, how's it going, man?
Well, it's good to be back on the PWO feed. I'm pretty excited about it. It's good to be back doing some podcasting again. I missed it, so I really wanted to get back into it.
We missed you, so.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Prospect Profile, which has been your thing and your project for the longest time, since the whole merger thing that got, or basically the past two podcasters that were with us at the time, that, you know, remember how we tried to get fired at one time and it turns out there was some sort of firing that did happen? Yeah.
It's been a while. This is the second week in a row you've referenced that show, Chris. Is there something you're not telling us here? Because are you trying to get us fired from processing only too? Or
no. Goodness, no. That was already awkward enough to do the one time. We don't need to do this again.
Yeah. Well, after today, I don't know. But I think people may have some doubts after tonight's show. But anyway, let's move on here. First up, you know, of course, first and foremost, AEW Dark Episode 4 dropped yesterday. Just going through, it was 3 matches and a video interview. The first match... Dustin Rhodes and Sonny Kiss against QT Marshall and Peter Avalon. Chris, this is the dictionary definition of a random ass tag match.
Yeah, pretty much. But I do like the idea of a kiss and makeup team between Dustin and Sonny.
Damn, you know, I didn't even think about that.
The gear was on point between them at the very least, so they had that coordination. And because of that, they did win that match. Eliminating gear, man.
Yeah,
it does things.
So QT Marshall's thing, other than the fact that, yeah, we all know that he works behind the scenes too, he eats apples. So I just hope he doesn't eat too many of those, because heard that they kind of loosen you up a little bit. How many you eat?
Rip in pieces. But anyway, nothing else to write home about beyond that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was an okay fun match. I'm just going to reiterate once again, as we seem to have to reiterate every time, because Peter Avalon seems to be such a fixture of, or Peter Avalon and Leva Bates seem to be such fixtures of AEW Dark. The librarian's gimmick fucking sucks.
I just feel bad for
Peter Avalon at this point more than anything, because he's really good, but the gimmick is just really bad. So it's
Lawrence, you were saying something.
Yeah. Oh no, I just don't. I don't really get it. I mean, I guess it's just their way of having like guys that they can easily be like ran over by say a John Moxley.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, especially since, you know, my daughter works in a library, so I have nothing against libraries, of course, but Jesus Christ, this gimmick fucking sucks. And I'm going to continue to say it in exactly those words until they do something else about it, because, ooh, lordy. With that off my chest, we had a four-way match. It's a women's four-way match. Penelope Ford... Sadie Gibbs making her debut, Allie and Emmy freaking Sakura.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know what? The match was good. It was okay. I mean, it was a watchable match. I'm just going to note again, and this is going to come up later on in this show, that this was, you know, I'm seeing that they're kind of going for a certain type of women's wrestler. It's either Japanese or blondes. And because, I mean, even JR was kind of buried. Oh, well, I guess the blonde didn't win. Holy Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
And yeah. Again, you know, as much as we've been saying that JR has been kind of okay on AEW, he was fucking lost in this match. And it's become clear that his reference point for Japan, even after doing New Japan, you know, in various forms since 2015, his reference point for Japan is still Kai and Tai DX.
Yeah, pretty much. But here's what I'll say, though, just to highlight the women's match, because there were certain things that I think they did, some neat little spots here and there. Biggest thing was just the crowd not being really as into it, because three out of the four they don't know as well from, a TV standpoint. Emi Sakura has been really the only one mostly featured out of the four in AEW television at this point. But I do think they did some good things to where it would make me interested to see, like, Sadie Gibbs and Penelope Ford and, like, the combination of these four in some way, shape, or form, like, singles matches within the TV time frame or even in Dark itself. But you do need to do more than just the multi-man, multi-woman stuff.
I mean,
a couple of these to really get certain things over, I feel.
Right. Well, and again, we're going to discuss that on the next match, too, because I've declared my distaste before. But before that, and of course, Emi Sakura won, pinning Penelope Ford. So,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was an interesting call. I would have figured Sadie Gibbs would have taken the hit there since, you know, it was her debut and all. And Penelope mm-hmm. Ford's, you know, featured before in AEW. So before that, we had another one of these Cody Rhodes video interviews. And the subject of this one, of course, was Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. And he tried really hard to stay in character for all this, but I was, I'm not going to say shocked, but it was just... you know, when he was telling his story, and it was just the naked anti-Semitism that he was talking about experiencing in that bit.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, I'll say that much. But at the same time, once he sort of explained it, you're just kind of like, yeah, unfortunately, I could see that.
Yeah,
given
especially since
of this country.
Right, and especially since he was more or less still trying to stay in character during the interview, you know?
Mm-hmm,
and
definitely.
then boom, he drops this on you, like, holy shit, you know? And of course, I'm not gonna recount the story because it's not my story to tell, but yeah, it was that was kind of sobering a little bit, you know, on your pro wrestling entertainment program. But we had the final match, a three-way match, which Chris, as Chris knows, I absolutely adore three-way matches.
Totally.
Darby Allin going up against Jimmy Havoc and Jack Evans. Kids, I regret to inform you, Jimmy Havoc is completely washed at this point.
I do think he still has a place on these particular type of matches, but it is a very niche thing at this point. And here's what I'll say. Give me Darby Allin versus Jack Evans in singles at a Dynamite sometime in the future.
Yeah,
that's going to be fun to watch.
Their interactions were very good.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I love that idea.
Their sequences in this match were phenomenal stuff all around, and I definitely want to see more of that in general. Even though Jack is doing the tag team stuff mostly, you can still afford to give him a couple single shots like this every here and again, and that would be one to do it.
Yeah, Darby Allin's still very impressive, and again, Jimmy Havoc is completely fucking washed as far as I'm concerned.
Jimmy Havoc's been washed his whole entire career, so I don't know, like, if that's like any news, like, at all. I mean, the dude's literally just basically like, here, I have a staple gun, and I'm a really scary guy. I mean, that's essentially Jimmy Havoc in a nutshell. He's not a whole lot else to the guy, in my opinion. But I don't know. I've never been a big Jimmy Havoc.
I mean, I didn't mind him in progress, and you know, of course, he has his, you know, he has his death match bona fides too.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, it's just he's trying to do like something in the middle here between his progress work and you know his combat zone work, and it's just not working at all for me.
It does feel like it has to be one spectrum or the other, and for one of those spectrums, you're gonna have to give him like an actual storyline and microphone time to do it with, which I don't feel AEW is ready to do that with him yet. So.
Go ahead.
To be fair, I mean, this is a thing I've had an issue with AEW for a little while now in general is giving stories to guys and giving really just in general kind of background information on people. And I think that's something we'll get into a little bit more once we get into the main show. I absolutely think there's an issue there right now in terms of just trying to let people know who some of these guys are.
You might be right. And of course, I think maybe they've been trying to rely on, you know, things like being the elite for that, you know, maybe not, you know, considering the fact that maybe there are some people who are not watching being the elite, myself being one of them. But yeah, you know, overall though, Havoc, I can stand, I mean, he should not be cutting promos because his one promo that he had on Dynamite so far was fucking terrible.
Oh, that was bad. That was a terrible, terrible promo.
We all agree on that one completely there. But yeah, in general, I think this is as good of a time as we can to transition into episode 5 of AEW Dynamite.
Yeah,
in this case.
And here we are. We are live from the Charleston Coliseum in Charleston, West Virginia. And we start out with Jon Moxley being very pissed off at Tony Khan.
Oh, my God. This was fantastic. I love this.
Yeah, that was great. I don't necessarily like 100% am invested in the idea of making Tony Khan like this behind the shadows super boss, like commissioner type of thing. I don't think he needs to be an on-screen character.
When Russo was the powers that be.
That, it definitely reeked that lines. A little bit. Uh-huh. It definitely reeked that a bit. I agree, but definitely kind of. So that was kind of the first thing that popped in my head too, but I think it went over well. I think it was a great foil for Moxley. Finally, it's like we're getting Moxley time to just talk and be him. You know, there wasn't enough of that on these shows with him, and now it's like just see what happens when you let that man just run off like anything he wants to say. Like,
yeah,
it's incredible. It's just he creates freaking magic. I was like, all right, I'm already 100 times more invested in him just like whipping the shit out of Kenny Omega now after that.
And not just that, but it makes sense to me too in the fact that not only is it a situation where being reasonably upset about the match being unsanctioned again, because if wins and losses are going to matter, then you're basically telling one of your major guys that whether he beats Kenny or not, That doesn't matter.
Well, not only that, but wait a minute. If this is an unsanctioned match, that means he's not getting an AEW paycheck for this match either.
Exactly.
So that. Right. So now at this point, both Omega and Mox are gonna have that. That's two matches that they've had that they're gonna be unpaid for. Now, of course, Omega can overcome it because he is an executive vice president, of course.
But. Yeah, exactly. So no, very good stakes.
Oh, and Joey Janela too. Joey Janela has missed two paychecks now too.
Right.
Due to that. Yep. So.
So yeah. Shout out to Tom Batista, the military industrial suplex, who astutely pointed out time to unionize. So as we move into the ring, and the ring is decorated in Rick and Morty swag. I'm going to bring this up later because I have some opinions about this topic, but let's get into the match itself, which is Hangman Adam Page going up against the Inner Circle's Sammy Guevara. I'm just going to point out, I really enjoy the purple glitter on Sammy Guevara in a wrestling promotion that seems filled with people wearing black.
Boy, he's a hateable little prick, huh?
Oh yeah, he is. He's a little shit. I mean, we've said this before, and he looks like Jack Grealish from Aston Villa. So
he reminds me of just the dude in high school that just hits up about like 15 girls with the same message.
Yep.
And it's, I showed you my dick. Why didn't you reply? Yeah.
Lawrence, he's that dude who gets a sports car from his dad at age 16 and tells you that I broke up with her. She didn't break up with me.
Yeah. Oh boy. Oh boy. Yeah. that was that. That said, the match was kind of okay. I didn't mind it. I think so far that, as far as opening matches go, Sammy Guevara should not be in the opening spot because his match with Cody in the premiere episode, it was just kind of lulled a little bit. And I thought it did. Right. I thought that we were kind of getting there with Sammy for, you know, in this match too, but they brought it back. And so Paige wins with a buckshot lariat, which is not often a finishing move for him.
No, not at all. I like that they're going that route of having that be a sort of a killer for a couple of the guys, just because it gives them a few more things in the arsenal to make some of the false finishes a little bit more believable down the line. And Hangman in general needs to like reestablish himself, like from a canonical TV perspective after obviously losing that main event at All Out against Jericho. So it's nice that they're doing this sort of stuff to like recuperate him in that regard. So
Lawrence, what did you think of this?
Wow. I'm very surprised, 'cause I thought this was a banger of a match. I really thought this was awesome. I enjoyed the hell out of this match.
Yeah,
actually,
no, I liked it as well, actually, on my
end. I didn't dislike it. I just thought it was it was an okay opener. I thought,
I thought they both did a great job on what they were supposed to do here. I mean, Paige has just gotten just better and better, I feel, over time. I've always liked Adam Page a lot, though. So maybe I'm just a little biased. I've always just liked his work for the most part. I think he's just getting better and better, too. And Guevara, you know, he's young, and he makes some errors in there at times, but obviously the talent is there, and the athleticism is there with him. And I thought they really they gelled pretty well together in the opener, and the crowd was hot as hell for this.
The crowd was pretty hot. Well, of course, you know, Adam Page is from the area, so. You know,
That's right. I completely forgot. He is from West Virginia. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Although then again, you know, screw West Virginia, because myself and you know, a friend of the show's Dion Wells nearly got killed in West Virginia. On the way to Mania weekend. So
yeah.
So you know, this actually like makes me wonder. It's like, they went all out on that, you know, Britt Baker is from Pittsburgh angle the last week.
Right.
And then this week, there was like almost no mention of that for Adam Page. I feel like they made a big show of it with Britt Baker last week. They brought Steely out there. She had the whole jacket on, the Steelers jacket. And I was just like, then this week, it's like Page is from West Virginia, but it was like not even like a mention of it.
Well, the crowd seemed to know.
Yeah.
So
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's I just find that inconsistency very, very strange. You know, it's like why Britt Baker of like all people
because they are really, really, really trying to make Britt Baker happen.
No.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's fine. I mean, wrestling companies should be making everybody happen. You know, should be making an attempt to make everybody happen.
I think Britt Baker's almost become more of like a meme than anything else now. I mean, holy Christ, the dentist thing has been like beaten as bad as a dead horse or worse at this point.
Well, speaking of dead horses, I guess the horse that Adam Page rode out on at All Out died this week.
Oh.
Hunter Horse Helmsley.
Yes.
That's sad.
Yeah,
that's
the horse died. But then again, Paige cuts a promo afterwards saying he's going up against Pac at Full Gear, and he inadvertently starts a cowboy shit chant.
That was, oh my god.
So I guess TNT really lacks on the whole.
They don't care
on the swearies.
They really don't care. I'm just like, this week you just reminded me with the horse. It's like I can't get the exchange out of my head that he had with what was it, Trent
Taylor? This is with Chuck and Trent, yeah.
Chuck, with about the horses having dicks in the his Titantron.
Yep. And then eventually led into the sorry about your dead birthday horse drawing.
Oh my god.
Which the follow up to that, like the past 2 days, was great because Chucky T did draw a picture and sent it a page on Twitter basically saying sorry about your horse, but it had the word sorry I killed, the I killed part like scratched off entirely, and Adam asks, like, what was that all about?
Oh my god. Jesus Christ. Nothing is sacred with those guys.
Oh my god. Moving on, the second match, which I was going to try to segue into when we were talking about Britt Baker, but I was unable to. Hikaru Shida is back in AEW, and she's going up against the debuting Shana, a Portuguese woman who I'm not really familiar with, but all I know is I just have a note here. It's another blonde woman.
Oh, my God. But I mean, I think she made a pretty good first impression. I really thought she was pretty good.
I did too. Oh wait, so Chris is knowing full well that I do not look at Twitter while I'm recording is sending me a tweet. Yeah.
This is for later. That way you understand the whole horse thing from Chucky's side of the fence. But either way, no, very fun match. We now know officially that Hikaru Shida's done with her Makai duties in Japan and has moved to the U.S. officially. So now we're going to be starting to see her way more often, and I am incredibly happy about this.
We also got confirmation that AEW continues to bury Falcon Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, the cover-up on this one was much better with them explaining that Hikaru didn't get the far leg hooked and there wasn't enough pressure on the shoulders and transitioned out of that a lot better than last week where it just kind of got killed.
They've completely murdered this move, and I think Eiji Ozaki, I think he shall be avenged at some point. We then move on. It's Halloween, so we're getting some weird shit. We get this very weird, creepy Brandi Rhodes segment.
I'm just trying to think.
I got nothing.
What is happening? The
people who wrote this really, really miss Lucha Underground seasons 1 and 2, don't they?
Definitely.
It is Halloween, so I mean, I guess I can kind of see that. I got nothing about this.
Weird.
Except to say that anything involving a road seems to be the worst part of any given episode of AEW Dynamite.
Seems like we have a trend at this point, don't we?
I disagree with that, but I don't know about that.
Last week was cool. You know, the whole thing going through the arena in Pittsburgh, I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. I thought the stuff this week was really good too.
We'll get that. I just said involving A Rhodes is the worst part of the show. We come back from commercial and we get presented the tag team of 2019, the tag team find of 2019, the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh yes, I'm so happy.
Lawrence, I don't know if you missed it on our other show, Strong Style Story, how I absolutely took back everything I said about the Rock and Roll Express working New Japan because their performance at Fighting Spirit Unleashed was a masterpiece.
Yeah, but they're goats. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
But at the same time, this was all really just. It is ostensibly to present the AEW World Tag Team titles, which will be crowned tonight, the champions, which will be crowned in the main event. But let's face it, it was ostensibly just a heat building segment for Proud and Powerful versus the Young Bucks at Full Gear.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't come up with a better name for those two than Proud and Powerful. I'm please, somebody enlighten me here.
As far as I'm concerned, like, they're still EYFBO, as far as I'm concerned.
Seriously, I'm like, just stick with that. Like, just use that name. Yeah. I don't understand. Proud and powerful? Like, that just sounds like it sounds like an 80s WWF fucking tag name. Like,
truth. Although, here's the thing. From what we've seen announced-wise, they've only been announced as the Inner Circle, Santana and Ortiz so far. So it's not like... I get that it's on, like, the theme music and the Titantron and stuff like that, but it hasn't been put, like, officially, I guess, on, like, the name tag logos as well whenever they get introduced as a team. So it's a sort of wait-and-see approach on that till it happens. But, no, I do agree. There could be better names. Okay.
I love this segment, though. Ricky Morton's crazy-ass fucking taking a bump.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't blade for this one.
Oh, right, yeah.
I mean, consummate professionals in this Rock and Roll Express right here. Brothers willing to take the bumps and do the jobs accordingly.
It turns out.
Oh, my God.
So we transition from that into a video segment with...
And also, I just want to add, I love that the Santana Ortiz stuffed socks and beat them with him. That's just fantastic.
that was pretty good. That was pretty inspired, I will admit.
I love that. Oh.
So we transition from that into a video segment between Cody Rhodes and Tony Schiavone, and I went to take care of something during that point. So I didn't even see it.
I mean, it was kind of like a weird way to do it, but Tony Schiavone's so damn, like, awesome that I don't even care. Like, I could just listen to Tony talk, like, for as long as, you know, he wants to, and I'll enjoy it. Because I think Tony is just one of the, and you could tell, like, Tony is just, like, really, really found his, like, love for the business. Like,
yeah. He's definitely enjoying himself again a lot. Like, so
and it's really great to see. And I thought he really carried this segment with Cody. I mean, like, he was basically, like, kind of reminiscing about, you know, Dusty a little bit, and like kind of giving advice to Cody and kind of hyping him up before the contract signing. I just thought it was done like pretty well, for what it's worth. It was kind of like an oddly done segment, you know, just kind of in the limo, those two, but like I said, Tony's such a consummate professional. He was just able to get what he needed to do, done in that segment very well. So
then we move on to the third match of the night, a six-man tag match in which QT Marshall, the Apple Man, and the Beaver Boys, John Silver and Alex Reynolds, have returned to face off against a team of the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy dressed as Rick and Morty.
I was very confused about this, but...
Ostensibly, all night they were running a promotion for Rick and Morty, because I guess there's new episodes coming on Cartoon Network, yeah. Which of course is a fellow, Turner channel. So, yeah. this sort of shit just harkens back to like the bad parts of like WCW and even WWE, when they do, you know,
RoboCop.
Yeah. RoboCop or Chucky or, you know, any sort of media tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
And
here's what I'll
say,
though.
It was just unnecessary. I mean, again, yes, I know it's Halloween, so okay, maybe we can give a little bit of leeway there. But I mean, even then, you know, Orange Cassidy, you know, completely no sold it in the end, anyway.
Or ECW's the zombie.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say, though. Like,
wait,
if you had
what?
A pick treat
from
WWE, ECW.
When they brought out the zombie, because the Sci-Fi Network wanted to they wanted like sci-fi characters on the show.
I wasn't watching then, so
they brought out this guy dressed up as a zombie, and then the Sandman came and like kicked the shit out of him, and it was pretty crazy okay. time.
Here's what I'll say on
the
this,
match
so,
was fun,
given,
though.
Yeah, fun match, but if you're gonna pick three guys to do this sort of thing, those were the right guys to do it, because Chuck, sure. Trent, and Orange will just have shits and giggles with it for their own like kicks and just do well.
I just want to say I've been very disappointed with how the Beaver Boys have been booked in this company.
I know, right? Like, just sign them officially at this point, to be honest.
I think it's like, yeah, like it's kind of like they just bring them in just a job pretty much, and it's just like, I'm like, that's kind of a bummer, because these guys are really talented. I've always liked Silver especially. I mean, Reynolds is solid too, but I've always liked
Silver especially is like phenomenal. Yeah, like he needs to I think if there are two guys out there who deserve contracts at this point, give it to them, man. They've been doing these enough at this point to where it's like they've been on TV. People will know them. Let them win and do stuff.
I mean, it's not. Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, and unfortunately, you know, job guys is something that wrestling does need, I guess. Maybe it shouldn't be them per se, but you know, just we'll see. You know, if their stock rises in the indies, maybe we'll see. You know, things happen differently.
I mean, I'm kind of hoping it's just more of a test run for them, and you know, and then they're gonna eventually get, you know, a pretty good deal, and they're gonna be a pretty solid force there. You know, in the tag team division, which has been very good. As it is, so I think that would be even better, even more of a addition if they do eventually get signed. That would be, I think, it would be really good.
Mm-hmm.
So then we move on to the contract signing between Le Champion Chris Jericho and Cody Rhodes for their match at AEW Full Gear. I'm just gonna point out, I love the fact that they color coordinated the all purple everything, including Jericho's jacket.
Jericho with some huge Ikemen vibes with that fucking jacket there. Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh, I am I wrong by saying that this might be the best work of Chris Jericho's career right now?
No, I don't think you'd be wrong on saying that at all. He's been slaying this entire whole thing since
I have been absolutely captivated by Jericho in this run he's been on in AEW. I think he's been absolutely phenomenal. I cackle at least like twice every time he starts to talk, because it's just, oh my god, he's just caught fire with this I don't even know what you would call kind of character he's doing, but it's just so funny. Everything he does is just like hilarious right now. It's like in like the best ways, and like he's getting legitimate heat from people now. Like he turned the whole bubbly thing, like that could have been a thing where all people, like, you know, really like got on his back again, and they would have had to turn him babyface, and he just turned it around and just became even more of a prick. And yep. and he's used it, and now the people are fully behind. I think he's done a hell of a job getting excitement for this match with Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they've done really well building the matchup. I'll give it that. Of course, you know, they flipped the script on the whole, you know, flipping the table over and all that. But of course, they turned it around and had Sammy Guevara and Jake Hager beat the shit out of Dustin Rhodes.
Oh, this was a great beatdown. I really like this.
I thought it was weird to have a dent in the portion where Jake Hager eventually bashed Dustin's head into, just to say, oh my god, there's a dent, like, seconds beforehand, and it could be clearly seen on the camera, but that's like a minor quip from what was really decent beatdown.
I actually missed that.
Here's continuity Chris for us again.
Yeah, see, I actually missed that, Chris, so I'm actually glad you brought that to my attention, because I legitimately thought he actually dented the car. I was like, holy shit.
There was sort of a dent already there. Oh. I think Hager just used the spot like a few inches to the left, where it sort of just like gave the impression that, like, well, damn. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's a good way of doing it. I just don't think the cameras could have done a better job of like working around that. But minor semantics on what was otherwise really compelling stuff between it, even if I do still think Cody is a geek who cosplays as Geese Howard in his spare time.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Damn.
But then again, my lack of fondness for Cody Rhodes has been probably like one of the more consistent things I've had throughout this entire family of networks as a show. So there is that. Like, I am biased in that regard. I will say that right off the bat.
And speaking of cosplayers who also happen to be executive vice presidents,
of course.
Oh,
of fucking course.
Yeah. The
I love Undertale, but a fucking course.
The fourth match, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks up against a kind of a randomly thrown together tag team of Kip Sabian and the Hybrid Two, of course, you know, Jack Evans and Helico. Yeah. Let's talk about that entrance video, shall we?
Oh, God.
I mean, never mind the fact that it was dumb.
Cringe ass shit. Cringe ass shit.
It played to a very specific audience, and unfortunately, when you're on network TV, not everybody's going to get that. That's the part that's really unfortunate.
Well,
Chris,
when he did this at Wrestle Kingdom, half the audience didn't get it.
Yeah,
at Wrestle Kingdom.
I'm aware,
but
trust me, I'm very well aware.
But yeah, this video with a not very subtle diss at all against Kota Ibushi and New Japan Pro Wrestling, because if you did notice, the lion mark had morphed into Sinistar in this video. In the fairness, I know that, you know, Chris and I, we do a New Japan, you know, podcast, but we've also said that, you know, the cheap shots against WWE have been really unnecessary. This was completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Kenny is a very, very gotten to human being, and so are the Young Bucks.
There's no better way of saying it.
I've been getting hit up on Twitter, you know, during the show, saying that, well, how can you misinterpret this? This is, this is Kenny's heel persona coming through. And so, shut the fuck up. I guess this is the Rick and Morty episode. I'm going to get hit up with, you don't understand there. Well, you see, it's on a different plane of intelligence of what you're usually used to dealing with.
His heel persona that he's not used in AEW.
Yeah.
What the get out of here. Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
Yeah, here's just what I'll say on the matter. For like the few people who get Undertale references, this was awesome, and Megalovania is a really good song. But that said, Kota Ibushi is living a very comfortable life right now, knowing well that he is main eventing one out of two nights at the Tokyo Dome coming up on January 4th, 2020, and knowing already right off the bat that his main event that night is going to outsell his Bitter X's two main events combined. So Kenny Omega can just stick it up his own ass at this point and just be done with it.
I gotta be frank.
He chose to be the fourth wheel in this entire operation.
And it's the other thing, like, you know, it's the same thing again with, you know, the video he did at Wrestle Kingdom too, where he was made out to be like some victim of Harold May in the front office. Like, wait a minute, New Japan Pro Wrestling bent over fucking backwards for you for the entire time you were signed for them.
Like, and you disappointed later half of the run.
Yeah, they created titles for you, for God's sake.
Literally, yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna relitigate the entire Kenny Omega run in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I am just gonna say that entrance video really kind of took me out of this match, and left a real bitter taste in my mouth for the rest of the show.
And people would wonder why, like, oh, why do you think Kenny Omega is so unlikable? I'm like, oh, can you just look? Look! That's why.
I'll say two words why he's completely unlikable. Chase and Rance.
Oh.
Because I was there.
Brother.
For that.
Sure.
Oh, God. And it's also the Young Bucks were equally as cringe here, coming out again in their freaking... Ken and Ryu, the fighter costumes,
which it's Halloween, so I could let it slide for one night.
That I could live with because it was it's Halloween and whatever.
Yeah, I guess, this is even the first time they've done it though. That's the sad part. Like they've done it.
And here's the other thing: what was the fucking point of that video? What was the point of it?
There wasn't any point. It was like. There wasn't a point to it. It didn't add anything to what Kenny Omega's been doing.
Yeah, it didn't add anything. It didn't add anything to his feud with Mox.
Right, it's not relevant.
I mean, anyway, yeah, the match, whatever. I was completely taken out of it. Kenny pins Jack Evans with a one winged angel.
Jack Evans did a bunch of cool shit. That's all you really need to know about.
Yeah, he did pretty much.
Jack Evans was being Jack Evans, and that's the best thing I could tell you about this match.
On this match. And again, it just brings our back to our point. Feature Jack Evans more in singles matches, please and thank you. He's really good.
Just feature Jack Evans more in general everywhere. Yeah. Like, my God, what a legend Jack Evans is.
Then we after that, we had the commercial break. We come back, and oh, God, it's Peter Avalon. Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, but don't then, forget Leva. Don't forget Leva Bates, though.
Oh, I mean, Leva Bates too. Yeah. Oh boy. But then, gang, my favorite part of every AEW show so far. Thank God for Jon Moxley. Because...
Oh yes. This reeked of like this. You know what this felt like? This felt so much like peak Stone Cold just coming out and just washing some jabroni, and like just then he just started mouthing off.
Hell yeah. And you know what? I was 100% here for it, and that promo he cut was absolute fucking fire.
That was to say the least, just probably the best part of the entire episode. Just unbelievable stuff when you let that man just talk and just do whatever the hell he wants. Just like I said, great things happen.
You know, I think after the panty dropper line that he said in during G1 Climax, I was like, why did Vince not just strap the rocket to this guy? Because holy crap!
Yeah, because everybody's got to be a zany clown, circus clown there.
Oh boy!
Ooga booga booga booga. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, yeah. So right when I was about ready to. Switch the TV.
Not enough cucking, you know, Jeff. It's not enough cucking.
You know what? I'm just gonna let that one go because I don't even watch that product and haven't in decades. But anyway, yeah. So thank you, Jon Moxley. I now love life again because you are in it. But then we get our main event.
I just loved how he went just over the top, just how he's like, everybody's been trying to hold him down and like, it's just like, you know, trying to hide his true personality. And it just like, he's sick of it. And it was just, it just built up and it built up and it was just, it crescendoed into this incredible, like, you know, piece of, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. And I'm going to, and it's like the blood's on your hands. And
oh yeah, that was a great line. Mm-hmm. That was a great line.
It's just the man is excellent when you just let him go. It's whew, man. Good stuff.
Outside of Jericho, he's the best entire act, like whole package in the company right now, and just enthralled by everything and anything he does.
You know, eventually they have to have Mox and Jericho collide. You know, that has to happen at some point.
Oh yeah. No doubt. But, I think Mox should actually beat him for the belt, to be honest with you. I think that should be the direction.
Oh, you know they are building it up to Kenny Omega, though. You know that they are.
Oh, brother.
You know that they are. But, executive vice president, Kenny Omega. So let's talk about not executive vice presidents, but we finally get our main event. Even though it's a five-match show, which, again, Chris, you know I get disappointed about that.
yes I do.
But this time we get to crown the very first AEW World Tag Team Champions, and it is the Lucha Brothers, Pentagon Jr. and Rey Fénix, my personal favorite in AEW, against the SCU team of Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say.
This was not the right call. Just,
no.
That's all I'm going to say.
No, it was not.
No. I can see why they're making that call, but I do feel that a lot of the crowd in general, you could tell by the reaction to the flash pin that ended the match in general, just kind of like, wait, dead. That's it? Wait, dead. Day
yeah,
one?
That was my reaction.
Okay, cool, I guess.
I think the problem here is just, I mean, they tried to do this redemption angle with them and with the Daniels thing, and they tried, I just think that they went the whole wrong way with this. I just don't think the people at this point, they're not going to hate on the Lucha Brothers. It's just, it's not going to happen. You're not going to make those guys heels.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
The only way that they were making them heels was when they were going up against, you know, Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt. This was not Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt.
Right. It's a different dynamic here. It's just, it just didn't work. The people just were not invested in SCU pulling this off. I mean, it just didn't really work.
And why are we giving heels a redemption angle?
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't understand it. I just wish that people would explain SCU to me like I'm five, but like that I really don't get them. What's the appeal there?
It's a heel gimmick that caught fire on the internet, so now they've got to make it so that people cheer them and buy merch. Really the best I got.
Penta.
Oh no, Sarah, I get exactly what you're getting.
No, you don't, because I haven't said it yet. No, he was a rudo for so long.
Yeah.
But it was because of him and his, you know, and his brother, of course, you know, both as opponent and as a partner, doing their hustle on the indies. It's like, you know, people love these guys in real life, you know?
Right. And it's to the point, it's hard to even run an angle like that.
I mean, these are the two guys that, like, when, you know, PWG couldn't get the ring there on time, they were the only ones who were like interacting with the crowd and, more importantly, hustling their merch while people were stuck outside in Reseda. You know, I mean, you don't make those guys heels very easily, you know?
Yeah. I don't think people believed it for a minute. Like, you know, I think people no one ever bought into it after that, even that initial attack. It was just like, that people still are like, oh yeah, that's cool. That's cool. They're awesome that they jumped them. Yeah, like
even the initial attack was prefaced by them like shit talking each other accordingly like the weeks prior. So it's kind of like, oh, okay, so these two have a rivalry now at this point. It's not like, oh, these guys are bad, we'll just jump anybody. It's just like these guys were dicks to them, so they're being dicks right back to them, which is very much on par with what they do, like from a personality standpoint as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, so, I mean, that's kind of how you do things in pro wrestling. And yes, sometimes the faces will go and try to get heat on somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I'm not even saying like Kazarian and Scott Scorpio and like Daniels are bad.
No,
they're just boring. Compared to Pentagon and Phoenix, they're just boring.
Lawrence, you know this too. I mean, I think Pentagon is like one of my top three wrestlers in all of wrestling right now. You know, never will you hear a bad word from me about him, but you know.
Yeah, it's a weird set of results, but it does make me feel that the setup is eventually for a Santana and Ortiz takeover of those titles as well, somewhere down the line here within the next 2-3 months.
Yeah.
And that's why they didn't pull the trigger on Lucha Bros being the first champions. But this does make me wonder whether they do the team up between them just in these matches to recover and eventually get a title shot, or whether they let them do a couple of singles things here and there up until they're ready to team again, and this time actually get the belts kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
I
interesting in that regard.
I mean, I would like to see both Penta and Phoenix get some singles work in AEW too, because of course, again, I keep saying that I think Pentagon is, you know, one of my top three wrestlers in the world. I really would like the AEW audience to experience that themselves.
Understand that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, disappointing finish or not, Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky are your inaugural AEW World Tag Team Champions. And, here we are. We have a week until, we have a week and change until Full Gear.
Indeed.
And so far, all we have are 4 official matches so far. Going through those, of course, you know, the main event. Or is it the main event? Or are they going to do... Well, whatever. Okay, so the two feature main events, maybe. Chris Jericho against Cody Rhodes, of course, for the AEW World Championship. Jon Moxley against Executive Vice President Kenny Omega in a non-sanctioned, therefore non-paid match.
Yep.
Executive Vice Presidents Matt and Nick Jackson going up against Santana Ortiz, EYFBO, LAX, Proud and Powerful, whatever you want to call them. And then not Executive Vice President Adam Page going up against Billy the Fish. Pack.
Pac.
Oh, wait, that's right. Lawrence may not be familiar with the whole Billy the Fish thing.
Yeah. So
I don't even know.
I'll explain off the air.
Oh boy. I kind of hear this one.
Oh, you do. You definitely do want to hear this one. So yeah, so we have a four match pay-per-view so far. I think we should be getting a women's title match.
Yeah.
So we've done no build to that. We should be getting a world tag team title match, even though we've done no build to that either.
The timing on those, again, it's just that whole thing with wanting the TV ratings portion, which I get to an extent, but then, yeah, you think of like how some of these matches would have fit quite well on a pay-per-view if it was Riho, Nyla Rose, and the friggin' SCU versus Lucha Bros on pay-per-view alongside what's on that card there.
Well, you know, it'd
be interesting as well, but hey.
Right, and what's a shame is the fact that, you know, both wrestling shows tonight are up against a Game 7 of a World Series in which none of the home teams have won any games.
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that the ratings are going to be down. Well, let's do the pros and cons. Chris, pros and cons.
For me, anything involving Jon Moxley was a huge pro altogether, 110%, super fun stuff. I did like basically anything involving Jack Evans' spots in that six-man match were pretty phenomenal all around. And really, the tag team match, the main event, was enjoyable as well. It was just, as we mentioned, the odd result just kind of caught us by surprise.
Any cons?
I'd say the weird Brandy Kong Halloweenish package, just because we didn't really understand what was going on there. I guess if we get more context over the next couple of weeks, cool. Cringy Kenny Omega stuff, even though I like Undertale and I appreciate bits of it, I can understand very well how it'll go over so many people's heads to the point where it is very cringy, as we kind of discussed it at this point.
I mean, it went over mine. I don't even play Undertale, so I was like,
yeah,
I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, for sure. Like, especially if you haven't played it, you're just like, what the fuck is going on here? I'm trying to think what else specifically. Otherwise, everything was either good or it sort of fell in kind of a happy medium for me type of thing. So cons wise, I don't really have much this week, I guess.
Lawrence, your first pros and cons of AEW Dynamite.
I mean, and I thought the first half of the show in general was pretty good. I really enjoyed Guevara and Paige and Sheeta and Shanna was a very, very sneaky, like, good match. I thought Shanna did a pretty good job, really in her first time on TV. I think she matched up with Sheeta really well. Like, I thought initially, like, the direction they were going there was going to be a spirited squash match where she kind of gets some stuff in, but then Sheeta eventually but they completely fooled me. They went like a totally different direction with it. And like, she really held her own against, Sheeta, and I thought they did a really good job against each other, and it made Shanna like of a believable opponent for the future too, in the women's division, which they needed more of anyway. Obviously, I really enjoyed Dustin angle, the whole contract signing in general was a really, really good bunch of work there from everybody involved. I thought Jericho and Cody did a really solid job of getting more people invested. You know, Jericho just being such a little prick and then just turning even more fans against him and just to build more support for Cody. I thought he did a great job of doing that. And then, you know, even more so when, you know, his boys attacked Dustin in a pretty believable beatdown segment, and it made it even more personal. So I thought they did a really, really good job of escalating that further before the pay-per-view. Obviously, Moxley's both of his big tirades that he had were were freaking amazing. I mean, to say the least, the guy, then they need to do more of it. Just let him go. Just kind of like Austin in like 96, you know, just let him go. Or 96, 97, just let him freaking talk and just say whatever the hell he feels like saying. And just bring him out there whenever, beat up on some that guy for like a minute, and then just let him talk trash and, you know, say what he feels. And this, I think they just got to keep doing that with him. Cons, I mean, I thought that there's just a lot of the cross promotion stuff was pretty chintzy. I get why they're doing it, and I'm not going to fault them for that. I just personally thought it was really corny, really chintzy, but I'm sure at the same time, I'm sure it appeals to a lot of their fan base. A lot of their fan base comes from that following, and they cross over with each other a little bit. So I can understand why they would run an angle like that. I personally, not for me. Oh Jesus, I just lost my train of thought, but, I don't know what's going on. Oh man, I completely forgot like the other thing I really disliked from the show. But I thought like the six man, the Omegas stuff was just really just corny, self indulgent stuff that you see from him. I thought that match was kind of like, you know, iffy. Anyway, it was just like kind of like a all over the place, spotty, just didn't really mesh well. Just at least Jack Evans did a bunch of cool shit, so I mean that's the good thing. Oh yeah. Forgot too, I meant like Santana and Ortiz, I thought they've just been really good just being goons all night, you know, like met like screwing up like Ricky and Robert, and then obviously after like the Bucks match they went and attacked them and beat their asses. So I enjoy them just being like willing and able to like pop up at any moment, just ready to like
beat like, people up.
I really enjoy that. That's they kind of, that's like their role, and I like it a lot. And then obviously the tag finish, I thought it was just the wrong booking decision, personally for me. I just don't think that was the right move, but we'll see where they go with it from here. You know, maybe they'll do something neat with it. I just think right now it wasn't the right move especially when you have like such a lightning rod for fans in Penta and Phoenix, where, you know, where you got all the young kids, love them. You know, the young kids love luchadors. I mean, it's like everybody wants to be them. You know, they're like looked at as almost like superheroes. And it's like, I think they really missed the boat just like putting the titles right on them.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Again, my pros, of course, Moxley, of course, can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. You know, I think you guys have talked me into it. Yeah, the first two matches, Paige and Guevara and Hikaru Shida against Shana, they really were good. The Rock and Roll Express, that whole bit was masterful, even if it was just, you know, heat building for the Full Gear match. You know, again, the Rick and Morty stuff, it was, I mean, the match itself was fun, but, you know, again, this whole media, you know, I don't know why we had to, you know, do, you know, cross promotion, things like that. It really never adds to anything in wrestling ever. And I would think that, you know, maybe that would be something that they would learn from. But I could also see that maybe Turner kind of twisted their arm on this one, too. The biggest cons were Kenny Omega in that video, because it took me completely out of the match with a completely needless diss of both Kota Ibushi and New Japan Pro Wrestling, and the finish and the booking of the tag title match. I didn't think it was good. So overall, I have to say, of the five episodes of Dynamite that has gone on, this one has maybe been, I had to say the worst, because that's kind of the word for it. But you know, there were still some good things in this, so it wasn't completely worthless. But this was the one probably I've enjoyed the least out of them so far. But you know, every show is going to have an off episode, right? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens.
So,
although speaking of episodes, though, I do want to highlight really quickly what we're going to be looking into come next Tuesday for AEW Dark, because those matches have been basically there's already sort of the results for them out there. But I can at least remember what the matches are.
We're already past the hour mark, so hurry up.
God dang it. So for AEW Dark, interestingly enough, Big Swole, Ariel Monroe, and Mercedes Martinez teaming up against Sadie Gibbs and Allie. Sean Spears against Michael Nakazawa, and then Jurassic Express of Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt against Joey Janela and Jimmy Havoc?
Oh. Huh. Okay.
That might be actually interesting if they can, you know, curb Jimmy Havoc being not good.
Sean Spears got relegated to the dark matches real quick.
Yep.
Holy cow, man. That was
Michael
a...
Nakazawa. Oh, boy. This whole cycle may not be the greatest advertisement for AEW, but
Man's really thought he was going to leave WWE and succeed. Ooh, man, yikes! Ten man really screwed up.
Whoops.
But hey, gang. Hey, you know what? Next week, we're in Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina for the go home show for Full Gear.
Yep.
So here, let me Charlotte, North Carolina at the Bojangles Coliseum. So
we're in Flair Country, basically, is what it is.
Oh yeah. So let's wrap this up. We're way past the hour mark, and I got to get up for work in the morning. Lawrence, any plugs?
No, I don't really have a whole lot of anything right now. I'm kind of taking a hiatus from doing my old show from about, you know, scouting prospects and everything, you know, in college football. Just like I've had a lot going on lately, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to do anything else. So I don't really have anything, to be honest with you.
Well, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at LOB_3. That's pretty much all I got for you.
Chris.
Yep. Just find me on Twitter and Instagram land. Basically a Brazilian Fury, Brazilian with an S instead of a Z.
You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. Also, my personal Twitter is at GD Wessel. That's 2 S's 1 L. And, Chris and I should be doing a new episode of Strong Style Story, if not this week, then next. That may be dependent on something going on at the day job that I may have to go in on a Sunday for, which kind of stinks, but, you know, it happens sometimes, right? Right. So... that's all I got. And again, we're gonna go to we're gonna have the go home show for Full Gear next week. So Chris, any final words?
Nothing at all. Just Kota Ibushi is living his best life right now, and good on him. Keep living your best life, buddy.
All right, Lawrence. Hey, thanks for coming by. Feel free to join us again.
Oh, I will try to make it happen again next week, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, until then, have a good week, and we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.